You're listening to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast from Clear Creek Community Church, located in the Bay Area of Houston.
Welcome, everyone, to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast. I'm Ryan Leighton, pastor of our Eager Bay campus and your host for today's episode. Our hope is that this podcast helps us to better connect with the people of Clear Creek and continue the conversation beyond our weekly worship services. Joining me today, I have Rachel Chester. She recently sat down with a couple who goes to our West campus. Rachel, tell us a little bit about that conversation before we listen in.
Yeah, I'm so glad for you guys to just experience a conversation with Brad and Amy Thompson. In addition to Brad being an elder, Brad and Amy serve in many areas in our church. They have lots of leadership skills. They also are servants. They are fully committed to the mission of our church. They lead with humility, and they have lots of just practical wisdom and advice about the challenges and also the joys of serving in their local church here at Clear Creek Community. And I'm just excited for you guys to hear from them.
Yeah, and you're friends with them because you go to West Campus as well.
That's right.
So awesome. Well, cool. I'm looking forward to this, to listening. Let's jump in.
All right. Why don't we start by y'all telling us just a little bit more about yourselves. How'd you guys meet? How long have y'all been here at Clear Creek? And how has that affected how you guys serve here?
Okay, I'll start, I guess, with how long we've been at Clear Creek, and maybe we'll get into how we met and expand on that. I've been coming to Clear Creek for about 20 years. I think I first started attending around the year 2000. At the time, Clear Creek Community Church was meeting in the ninth grade center at Clear Creek High School. And a neighbor of mine at the time just raved about the teaching, casual environment, great music, and it sounded like a great place to be, and I found it to be, and I've been here ever since.
I began attending Clear Creek in 2002, and that was when Brad and I were dating, and he asked me to come with him to Clear Creek. At the time, I was attending St. Mary Catholic Church in Lake City.
So you guys have been going here for a while,
Yep. And
I know you've served in lots of different areas. So why don't we start with you guys just telling us a couple places you've served. How did you first start serving here at Clear Creek?
We've served in a number of areas. First impressions or guest services is where we spent most of our time. We've also helped in some of the marriage ministry areas. But I think where we first started was in Peeweeville. Maybe Amy can share a little about that experience.
Yes, since we had kids that were babies, we felt like they had poured into us, and so we needed to find a place to serve that would fit and that we felt like we knew because we were raising young kids. And so we decided to try there first, and it wasn't long when we figured out that that was not the right fit and that we weren't the best to care for other people's kids. We were really good at what we could do for our own. I would say that the reason we backed out of that is at the time in our careers, in our professional careers, we were both very comfortable in leading adults and communicating with adults. And so at that point, we were like, let's try to serve on a team where we can be surrounded by a community of adults.
And I think I'll add to that. Some of it is we didn't know what we didn't know. And what I mean by that is at the time, we thought serving in Peeweeville meant playing with Peewee kids and changing diapers and doing snacks and doing activities. And now, fast forward, we've come to learn there's a lot of areas in children's ministry and Peewee areas where you're not just dealing with the kids. You can be dealing with adults. You can be in first impressions, set up in tear down, safety teams. So there's a lot of areas around the kids that aren't necessarily directly involved in the kids, which maybe we didn't know at the time, and we might have stuck in that area a little longer had we known that. But quickly after that, someone else asked us if we'd be interested in the guest services team, and that ended up being a great fit.
Who asked you guys?
Yeah, I was our navigator at the time, and it's interesting that that's where we ended up, because at that time, the guest services team didn't exist. It was at a time where, I said, we first started going at the ninth grade center, but by this time, Clear Creek had built a building, and then had built a second building, and kids' areas were different than they used to be, and it became a little more complicated for a family to get to our church, to get parked, to get their kids checked in if they had them, to figure out where they were going, and to arrive in the auditorium ready to hear the message. And so guest services team was really built out of that. And the gentleman that was running point on finding that team was our navigator for our small group at the time. He said, "Hey, I'm creating this team. Here's what it's all about. I think I'll be good." Had a "I see in you" conversation, and we jumped right in. We decided, yeah, it sounds like be a good fit, and it was.
And we jumped in, and we said, we're not necessarily leading the team, but we'll certainly handle the scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we agreed to fill that role just as schedulers, and what is it, 13 years later, we're still...
Now we're leading.
Guest services?
Yes. And leading. So the leader at the time stepped away, and we said, they're looking, okay, who's going to step up now that the leader's not here? And we said, you know, everybody else stepped back, and we stood still. And so we said, well, we'll do the scheduling, but we're not really going to lead. And then since then, a new campus is born. We launched this team at the West Campus, and we're still leading that today. So
okay, so we say, you're all saying guest services, and most people know what that looks like. Right. There's well, you walk in the door, and if you're an extrovert, people, you know, like, hey, high five, welcome. It's so exciting. And if you're an introvert, they're the people you sort of like duck and try not to make eye contact with. But there's more to it than that. So tell me a little bit about the what of guest services, just as an example of what it looks like to serve. Like, what are you guys doing? And then let's talk about the why.
Tell you what it's not. Then I'll let Amy tell you what the ministry is, and then maybe I'll get back into
why. Yeah, that's great.
But sometimes we're called, especially at the West Campus, because our team is in close proximity to the front door, and we're called the second greeters, or the second people to give a handshake. But that's...
Greeters is helpful.
And greeters typically at the West Campus are at the front door, opening the door and welcoming people in. Guest services serves a little bit of a different role than greeters. And I'll let Amy kind of maybe... share why it is that this ministry exists and what it is that we do.
I would say guests, our mission for guest services team mirrors that of the church, and that we're wanting to lead the end church to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And we take it a step further because we have time from the front door to the auditorium with them. And so we want to allow them time to talk through, just explore. Take this time to explore, go into the auditorium and hear the claims of Jesus Christ and decide for yourself whether or not you think that that is true. And then for those, again, that may be attending for the first time and they're thinking, I want to get plugged in more than just on a Sunday, we would call that a next step, and we'd encourage them to get involved in a small group. And then we have also people that have been attending for a long time, and they're wanting to take a next step, and we can encourage, they'll come up and perhaps say, how can I make a difference?
Come up to you guys, like, that's your part of your job
part
as
of,
guest services is to help people do that?
Yes, they can come up and say, hey, I've been serving for a long time. I feel like I really want to make a difference in another way. What can we do? And oftentimes we'll lead them to a list of go-ops or opportunities to serve in the community to make a difference there, and they can do that locally, nationally, or even internationally on mission trips.
And it is our job, too. At first, guest services sounds like just that we're there to serve the guests or the people that are at our church for the first time, but really our ministry, our team, has expanded what we do to really walk with someone for their entire relationship with our church, if you will, from the unchurched guest who visits us for the first time. We want to make them feel comfortable and help them get into the auditorium. And then fast forward to people that have been at Clear Creek for a long time that are looking for the next step. Maybe there's been a life change and they're looking for a class to help them through that, or maybe they want to join a group, as Amy mentioned, or find a place to serve. So really, whether they're someone's brand new there or been with us for a long time is looking to take that right next step, we want to help that person move towards full devotion.
I love that. So you guys are really talking about how you were part of the beginning of a ministry, and you're continuing a ministry where you're not just showing up on Sunday, but you're really part of the foundational part of what we're trying to do at Clear Creek, which is to make, you know, help develop unchurched people fully devoted followers of Christ, right? That's what we're trying to do in every aspect of that, at serving here is a part of that process.
Yeah, and so I think in your question, you're saying our ministry or our team or what it is that we do has evolved over the years, and I think you're dead on there, and Amy's very passionate about this area, and it's why it's so important to continue to bring in new people into serving, because Amy and I have done this now for 12, 13, 14, 15 years, and so we have an idea of why the ministry was started and what it might take to be effective, but the reality is it takes something very different now to do this job well, and the people that we're serving are very different now than those people were when we first started this ministry. You got anything to add to that?
No, we talk about it a lot, but our mission has not changed. Our mission is not going to change, but the way that we reach people and make that first impression is always going to change, and that's why, I mean, it's important to be aware of that and to continue to talk to the volunteers that serve on the team for new ideas and seek out new skill sets.
So you guys are talking to other people all the time about what it looks like to reach people and then to help them to become fully devoted followers.
For sure. And what it takes is different. As Amy mentioned, you know, when we first started in this ministry, oftentimes people came through your front door of the church because they drove by and saw the building. And really, they were there to learn a little bit more about your church. Now, oftentimes, people know a lot about our church before they ever get here. Media like this is available, so people have some sort of relationship with our church. Oftentimes, they've heard some of our sermons. They've viewed some of our resources, and so they know more coming in the front door. So that changes how we engage with someone. It changes some of the first couple of questions that we ask. And so we continually need to evolve. And then when we learn what might work better now, then we need to share that with our team so that our team continues to improve and get better so that we can better serve our guests and make them feel welcome.
So you guys mentioned that you started on Pee Wee's. Like, this is the first place that I think of because I have kids. So this is where I'm going to go. So I'll start here. And you eventually started a team with guest services. So what does that look like? How did you go from one ministry to transitioning to other ministries within the church?
We were asked.
Personally, yeah, I was going to say
there you go.
More times than not, it was a personal invitation to serve. As Brad mentioned, our navigator, when we were at Egret Bay campus, asked us to serve with guest services. As of late, you've invited us to facilitate in another ministry area, Reengage, and currently we're helping with divorce care, and all of those came through personal invitations. Lance Lawson asked us recently to help with divorce care.
Yes. So you're talking about personal invitations. So you started in Pee Wee's and then you moved to guest services. And Amy mentioned that they served with our Reengage marriage ministry in the fall. And now they're doing divorce care, which I want to hear about. And that was through personal invitation. I think that that is a common story, that you just start serving and then people hear you, the story of your life, right, and your gifts and what God has done for you and through you. And then you start to develop, oh, okay, well, I can also serve in these places and these places. That seems like it's a common experience for people. Do you think that's true?
For sure. Even if you just look at a small sample size, if you will, our guest services team has a number of people that served in other ministry areas prior to being a part of guest services, and then someone tapped him on his shoulder and said, hey, I think you'd be good in this role. And the opposite is true as well. We have many people that started in guest services and then found out that there's a better fit for my gifting somewhere else. And so I think we continue to develop new skills. We continue to become aware of new gifts that God's given us, and we find different places. And so I think I would celebrate that people move from different ministry to different ministry based on fit or based on need of our church, because our church changes over time.
So what has happened with you guys? You guys lead ministries, right? You're not just a part of ministry. So if somebody comes to you and they're like, well, I started here, but this is just not right for me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or I feel like my schedule is too busy, or it's just like not a good time in my life. How do you guys walk through that with other people? And, you know, what's just your wisdom in that? Like, how do you help people to see, like, you can be serving and move to a new place, or you can have a break, or what does that look like here?
I think we celebrate one, Brad mentioned, I mean, to celebrate the fact that they actually could admit that it just didn't feel right, it wasn't working, regardless of the reason, yet they're still seeking to plug in somewhere because they're telling you and they're asking. So outside of celebrating and thanking them for sharing that, have a conversation, as you mentioned. I mean, we can sit down over a cup of coffee and figure out where their passion is. You can figure out their strengths and weaknesses, and from that, talk about the different ministry or areas within the church, and lead them to that ministry leader. And I don't know if this is the right time, but First Serve is an excellent opportunity for them to take a test drive, so to speak, and that would just be to volunteer on a particular Sunday in that ministry area and see if it feels right, see if it's the right fit for them, and encourage them just to try it. I mean, just to step outside of their comfort zone, even if they're not quite sure what it's going to bring.
So you said First Serve. That's something that our church does periodically. So you said First Serve. What does that look like? What if someone says, okay, I don't, you know, I want to do something, but I don't know what that means. So what do I do?
I'll talk a bit about First Serve, and then I want to go back to the last question and add a little bit to what Amy said, if you're all right with that.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, good. So First
whatever
Serve,
you want to talk about.
First Serve looks different, probably in each ministry area, and looks different across each campus. But at its simplest, I would say it's a test drive. It's a chance for you to go actually do the role that you're considering and see if, in fact, you're a fit for that role and that role is a fit for you. And so before someone commits and says, I'll serve every other week going forward indefinitely with this ministry area, go try it. Make sure you like it. We thought, since we had young kids, as we talked about, we should go serve in Peeweeville. We quickly figured out that maybe that's not the best fit for us. Had we just done a First Serve, we might have got to a better fit for us quicker. So First Serve is simply that. Go serve the first time and see if you like it. And then after that, stack hands and say amen, or say, I'm going to continue to keep searching. And I think that'll take...
And that's okay. It's okay to say, I'm going to keep searching. Are you sure?
I am sure it is.
You're not signing a contract?
I'm not signing a contract before I do a First Serve. The word of caution, though, that I would say, to go back to the previous question about, you know, if something's just not feeling right or it's not the right season, I would agree with Amy's point to sit down with your ministry leader and talk about it and try to find a better fit. If you don't think that the First Serve went well, again, there's no contract, find the right place. But I would offer a strong caution to someone who's currently serving and comes to a season of life and thinks, I'm going to just step out of serving altogether for a while. I get that there are difficult seasons of life. I get that there's times where we might feel so empty that we don't know if we have anything to pour into others. And so we might think, when this season passes, I'll get back into serving, but I just need to step out of it for a while. Proceed with caution. Over the 15 years that we've been doing this, we've seen a handful of people do that. And my experience has been that they don't step back in. We mentioned we've got kids that are 20 and 18 and 15, and there can be this thought that when this season passes, then I'll whatever, when they're not newborns mm-hmm. anymore, when they're walking on their own, when they're getting dressed, when they're, but there's always another season that presents challenges.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
I have little kids.
Sorry, your kids are little.
Assuming it's going to be easy pretty soon.
Okay. Well, we have right? not found pretty soon just yet. But find the right fit. But please, if you're considering just stopping serving altogether, I would caution you to really make sure that's the right decision.
Well, I think that's great. So there's, you have to sort of hold in both hands this idea that you're here to serve and to love, and it's a gift, which we're going to talk more about. But it is also a sacrifice, and you have to have wisdom in that. So you guys mentioned earlier that you have jobs, you have kids, right? You have a lot of other things going on other than Clear Creek Community Church. So what does that look like for y'all to serve in multiple ministries and to do that well and to do that with all of your heart and still to take care of everything else that's going on in your life that matters? Amy?
It can be very chaotic, very busy, and that's challenging. For a person like me, Rachel, you know me.
You're laid back.
I like structure.
I
like
easy
order. I like control and closure on a lot of things. And when you're serving and just guest services, it's not that every Sunday. But there are benefits to the chaos, so to speak. I mean, when our kids were young, we could double dip. That's a term we use when we would leave the kids for two services so that we could serve. And now, fast forward 15 years, they're able to drive themselves or catch a ride with a friend. So the benefit of that is, you know what? They have to set their alarm. They have to get themselves dressed. They get breakfast. They're taking on their responsibility and some independence, and that is allowing us to serve. So it's crazy, but there's definitely benefits to the chaos. What would you say, Brad?
Yeah, I would agree with all that. And I also think that we're modeling for our kids what we think is important to us. You know, God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, for us. Because he first loved us, we should love others. It should be a natural outflowing. And so we want to model for our kids loving others and doing it well within the church and without. We volunteer in some of the kids' activities at the kids' school because we really want, one, we really do believe that Jesus loved us, and out of that really love flows for others. And we believe there's a benefit to show that to our kids, that we could send a message to them that we've got to take care of all of us and the rest of it will take care of itself, or we've got to help take care of others and we might need to make some sacrifices. And you hear around Clear Creek a lot and in parenting that more is caught than taught. And knock on wood, but I think we're starting to see some of this with our kids. Our oldest is 20, as we've mentioned. He's off at college. He's found a local church there and is asking a lot of questions about how can he get plugged in. We've had our kids serve in the children's ministries here at Clear Creek. Our kids have chosen to help with special needs kids at school and in community activities. So I think, you know, a natural fear of ours is if we're so, quote, busy serving at the church and serving others, are we doing it at the expense of our kids or spending time with them? But we trusted that God would work through that. And I think we're beginning to see that they saw in us, it's important to love and serve others. And they show glimpses of that now. And we hope that continues.
I love that. Yeah. So you guys are talking about community right now, really like showing your kids what community really looks like as part of your family, but even outside of that, as part of being a part of God's family. And so can you tell me just a couple examples of what that has meant for you guys to really see how serving in our church, in our local church at Clear Creek, has either given you community or affected your community or deepened it in a way that maybe you didn't know was going to happen or that was unexpected?
Yeah, and this one will be difficult. The greatest example of that for us was a late August of 2017 on a Tuesday morning. That weekend, the floods of Harvey had moved in, and we got water in our house and had to evacuate. And so that Tuesday morning, the water started to recede. It was really the first opportunity that we thought we could get back to our house just to check on it and see what the damage was. And we had planned just to really do just that, go take a peek and then leave. And when we got to our house that morning, there were already people from our church there that had come to check on us. And as that day would progress, there would be greater than 20 other people from our church in our house on their hands and knees, ripping out sheetrock and ripping up our floors and ripping up our carpet. That wouldn't have happened if we weren't in community and if we weren't serving, if we weren't connected. And I say that not just because I think that to be true, but we live on a cul-de-sac with 14 houses, 12 of which were flooded. And when we walk out on the driveway, there's 20 people on our driveway, and we had neighbors that were all alone, standing lost, wondering where the first step would be. And so that was the greatest reminder for me, the value of being connected in a community of believers. And not only did those folks help us, but then they went to our neighbors who they didn't know and were the church to the unchurched. And that was a beautiful mess that we're in the middle of, where we got to see the folks that we do life with go live it out.
I love that. A beautiful mess. That's perfect. Can you tell me even more specifically how serving here has given you some of that community? You know, you guys, we've mentioned a little bit, but y'all serve in lots of ways. And so how is serving in those ways given you specific and real relationship that is, you know, moved towards those moments where you need somebody, where you're living life with somebody? So whether you're talking about like as a, you know, as being in charge of groups, as a group mm-hmm. champion, or mm-hmm. as an elder, or in divorce care, or reengage, or anything, how do you develop community through that?
I feel like I'm talking a lot.
In each area that we've served, I think our role as a leader has impacted community because of the need to train volunteers, the need for meetings just to cast vision, the need to stop someone in the hallway and just check in. Hey, are you feeling fulfilled in this role? Is it what you thought it was? And if it's not, let's talk. On a deeper level, I would say community has become so strong, and it's because I'm reminding constantly that it's not about me. It truly is to glorify God. And when I serve alongside someone and you have a conversation or two, it doesn't take but a minute to figure out that everyone has struggles. Everyone is depending on Christ to get them through. The followers that we serve alongside, they too are remembering that it's not about them. And you develop a relationship where you're serving and you're welcoming people, you're helping them find answers, and you're doing it along someone who is struggling deeply, yet they're not talking about them. They're depending on Christ to carry through the conversation with that unchurched guest, or the visitor that needs to find the restroom, or offering a cup of coffee. But we're all doing it, mm-hmm. Developing and furthering our story, but we're doing it
as a body
and to glorify Him.
We talk about knowing others and being known, and I think that's where it starts, and then that leads to the specifics, right? That if we're not connected to others and known, then when life events happen, that you're not able to care for others, and there's not people to care for you. And you ask, I think, for specific examples maybe of how this looks, and I'll share one, and we could go on forever, but you know, our oldest son Seth, and I'll work backwards, he's off at college his freshman year, and he calls one, I want to come home and get baptized, which, wow, as a parent, you're like, wow, what a moment, and that was impactful. But then he wants Frank Land to baptize him, who Frank Land had been a small group leader in youth ministry, and Frank Land is dealing with pancreatic cancer and had recently had a bad diagnosis, and so you just see the connectedness that Amy's talking about when you see somebody that's going through a really tough part of life, mm-hmm. But then they're able to be a part of a celebration of what is going on eternally and realize that there's something far bigger at work. And those dots wouldn't have been connected if Frank wouldn't have served, if we wouldn't have been serving, and if we wouldn't have been in that community. I don't know that any of that would have happened.
Right.
And so that's, I think, a specific example of what can flow out of being connected in the local church.
So I'm gonna piggyback on that a little bit, and because in my experience, you know, serving, whether it's somebody asking me specifically, "Will you do this?" which is usually what I need, just a confession. Yeah. Someone has to ask me usually. But whatever the reason why it happens, it is usually hard initially, right? I usually am like, I'm not sure if I can do this. And then I do, and then in that, I find community, and I find that my relationship with Christ is deepened, that I rely on Him more because I have to, because I find the joy of participating in His church more fully. What for you guys has that looked like? How has serving in any capacity and any of the ways you're doing it, how has that deepened your relationship, your personal faith in Christ?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
It is. So for me, it starts because of my relationship in Christ, something I shared earlier. Because I was loved, I choose to love and serve. Then when you go serve alongside other people that are also sinners, just like you are, and you're collectively serving other sinners, it's not easy. So then that drives me back to a need for patience or understanding or love or perseverance or wisdom or discernment, which I don't have the capacity to muster up on my own, which drives me back to God and a dependence on Him and His Holy Spirit, which deepens my faith. And as my faith is deepened, it strengthens my desire to go serve. And then as I go serve, I'm inadequate to serve on my own, and I'm in need of help from the Holy Spirit. So for me, that's...
Seems like God is involved.
God's involved at all times.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yep. No, I love that. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's such a perfect picture of what this looks like. You start there and then it ends there and it deepens, and it's not a circle, but it's like a continuous relationship with Him. Yeah.
Continuing to depend on Him always. I mean, in the ministry that we're in now, the guest services, there are Sundays when I wake up and ready to go, feel like, yeah, we can do this. And there are other Sundays when I wake up and I'm tired.
No.
And there's no one else on the schedule. But those are moments and spaces and blanks that I think God places in our lives so that we then truly depend on Him and we turn to Him. And I will. I'll pray. Lord, give me the words to speak to whoever walks in the door. Lord, give me the smile that I don't know that I can put on my face right now. I know another example I'm thinking of is when you ask us to help facilitate the re-engage. Mm-hmm. We really didn't know what that would look like.
Yeah, me either, just so you know.
But
thank you.
We trusted. We trusted you, and we trusted Aaron, and we trusted that God would lead us and through a lot of prayer and hard, hard conversations to prepare us for that 8 or 9 week class. We learned to continue to build trust and trust in Him, even if we didn't know what it was going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
And there, those conversations and those weeks, not just between Brad and I, but through the engagement and sharing it with other couples, certainly deepened and broadened my faith.
For sure.
Do you guys, I'm just thinking through like all the moments in my experience with serving at church whenever I felt like, God, you just had to fill in the gaps here because I'm not prepared to do this. I'm just going to trust who's asking me and I'm going to be there. But just trusting that God fills in those gaps. What are some other just practical like challenges? Not so much that I'm not equipped for this, because we do believe that God will fill those gaps, that He's present with us and that He'll take care of that. But just practical, you know, scheduling and childcare and all those things, like how would you guys speak to people who really want to serve but are facing real challenges, real practical you know, real life things they have to deal with, and they're not sure how to serve their church and still live their life like they want to.
I might be a little direct if I was going to have that conversation.
It's okay, nobody's here.
Nobody's
just
here.
Just
nobody's
say
listening.
It.
What first comes to mind is the order matters. What I mean by that is if I start with what does my current calendar look like, and then try to figure out where is it that I would fit in a time to serve, mm-hmm. or how would I make all these changes to serve, that's going to be really difficult. But if I flip the order and say, I really think I've been called to serve, I really think it's important to serve, how might I go and change my schedule so that I can make it happen? There are practical ways to do it. As Amy mentioned, the church will allow your younger kids to double dip. So if you've got a kid that's back in the children's ministry and you wanted to serve during one service and attend another, there's a system in place that will allow your kid to do it. Many of the older students within our church are great babysitters, and maybe they can help care for your younger kids.
Everybody's going to need their number.
Everybody's going to need their number.
Right now.
That's right. So you can probably reach out to someone in the student ministry and ask them if they know of any kids. You know, if you need help with childcare for your kids, there are practical ways. And then I challenge you to look around. There are likely other people that are a similar stage of life that are doing it. And maybe just ask them, because what worked for Amy and I may not work perfectly for whoever's listening to this, but there's someone else in a similar situation that's finding a way to make it work. And so ask somebody else, ask for help, but start with the goal of, I think it's important to serve. How might I figure this out? Mm-hmm. And not the other way around.
So can I ask you, so those are real challenges we face, childcare, real life, you know, that we all have to sort of navigate. But what about, misperceptions? Like what are some of the things that people think, like, oh, you want me to serve a church? Because we talk about it a lot. You know, we are a family of Christ and we are loving and serving each other. So let's do that. And then people automatically have certain ideas in their head of what that has to look like or what that does look like. And it's not always exactly what it looks like here. So what have you guys found that are some, you know, misconceptions of what serving looks like? How can you speak into that?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that they think I don't have the answers. I don't know enough. I won't be able to answer the questions that I'm asked. And that goes back to, you know what? It's not all about me. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of conversations where I'll say, I don't know, but I'm going to grab this person, or I'm going to go find the person and get back to you. So that's one big misconception.
I will just say, I think one of the wisest, bravest things you can ever say is, I don't know.
Agreed.
And commit to find out.
I'll find out. I'm not going to leave you there,
right.
But I don't know. And the truth is that sometimes people think that, you know, Yancey or Bruce or Ryan knows everything. But they don't. And so, yeah, I think that is so important and gracious. We all don't know, and you don't have to know, but you'll never know if you don't start. Yeah.
Sure.
I love that.
So I think that's one misconception. And the time, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about, or talked a lot about it, but the time that's being asked, you know, if one person serves, we might need them 100 hours. But if 100 people would serve 1 hour, well, then that's drastically different. So if someone doesn't have a ton of margin in their calendar but's willing to give some, that would help us. And so I think what Amy said, and I would add to it, is I would encourage everyone to not think you have to know it all and not think you have to serve every week, but there's a spot for you. Mm.
Okay, so if there's somebody out there who's listening and they really want to serve, but they're just not sure yet, what is one thing you'd want to say to them, whether it's about your experience or to encourage them, or what's the one thing you would say to somebody who wants to, but they're just not sure?
I would say we need you.
Hmm.
We need you. And I think that's a miss a lot of times. We start with, where do you want to serve?
Mm-hmm.
But if people know that they're needed, just think about your neighbor that calls on you because they're in a bind and you're needed. You always say yes. If a good friend calls you and you can tell that there's something going on and you sit with them and they're asking you a favor, you usually say yes. Because the need is identified. And so I think that one of the first things we could say is we need you. We may not know exactly where, when, or what, but we need you.
Yeah, I think that's wise. And I think I would tell you, you will benefit from serving as much, if not more, as those that you serve will. So I think I'd steal from Nike and say, just do it. I'd applaud you for considering it. If they, you know, I think as you position it, they're thinking about it, I applaud you. But just do it, and I think you'll find out that it's more rewarding to you than you might have thought, and that's because you're doing God's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell me, for you two, just, you know, from moving from other churches and coming here at Clear Creek and serving in lots of different ministries, how has it affected your own personal faith? What has it meant to you, how you think about church and your relationship with Christ? What has it meant for you to be serving in a community?
I think I said this earlier, but it's a natural outflow. When I first started attending Clear Creek, I'll tell off on myself a little bit, but I came 8 minutes after the service started because I didn't really want to do that part where you stood up and said hello to someone. I didn't embrace small group right away because I wasn't sure I wanted to sit around a room of people that I didn't know and talk about the problems in my life. And then fast forward, we've been navigators for 15 years. We've led a team of serving. We're here early. We stay late. And it's a natural outflow of my relationship with Christ. Because of what he's done for me, I want others to experience this. And the only way more people are going to get to experience this is if I do my job or do my role around here to make sure that we have people to love and serve others that come to our church. And so the more I grow in my relationship with Christ, the more I want to be involved in the local church, and the more I'm involved in the local church, the more I grow in my relationship with them.
Yeah, they're related?
Yes.
You think?
They're interrelated, yeah. Seems like. Still looking into it.
I would agree. There's a connectedness that can't be broken, and it's just who I am, and just the same reason. God loves us, he serves us, he's my king, my father, my savior, and because of that, the Holy Spirit is within me, and there is no breaking that bond, there's no separation, and so everything that I want to do, I don't always do it well. I don't always do it first, but I always have that desire that's connected to do because of what he's done for me. My kids will ask, I can remember, you know, they will say, Mom, you're the strict mom, or you're the different one. And that's okay. But I just say to them, that's just the way it is. There's a connectedness.
It's a hard one.
It's a hard one.
It is a word. Yeah, connectedness.
That won't be broken.
Yeah. I love that. I am so thankful for both of you. You guys are leaders and you have servant hearts, and I'm thankful to walk with you in church. I'm thankful that you are my sister and brother in Christ. Reminds me of the love of my Father. All the time, it does. For those of you who are listening with us, thank you so much for checking out our Clear Creek Resources podcast. If you're interested in taking a next step to serve, you can find a link to begin serving in the description of this episode at clearcreekresources.org. I'm Rachel Chester, and thanks so much for listening.